end of the message tonight. Now, throughout the conference, we will have classes. We won't have classes for the 8 through 12 every session, but we will for those that are 4 through 7. And for those that are 3 and under, we have a nursery back here if you want to take your child back there. Now, if you take them and drop them off, the condition is you got to pick them up. We mean tonight, not Sunday. But at any rate, the nursery's there. There's nursery workers back there. And if you want to put your child back there, I can't imagine anybody passing up on an opportunity like that. But you may be one that don't want to. But anyway, it's there if you need it. And so that's 3 and under. And then 4 through 7, we'll be going with Miss Thomas through this door right here. All of you that are 4 through 7, stand up. 4 through 7s. Come on, you know if you're 4 through 7. We're going to do 2 in a row and then take a break. Yeah. That's all you got, it's 1. If you're 4 through 7, you're missing out if you don't go with Miss Stephanie because she's got candy. Jerry, you can go. Okay. All right. We'll have a class later tonight for the 8 through 12s. And we'll have a class for that group 2 or 3 times during the conference. But the 4 through 7s, we'll have a class each night, I guess. Since there's just one, we may just let her sit out here since she's a preacher's grandkid. All right, our first speaker tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to have 2 preachers back to back, and they've each agreed to preach for 5 minutes. No, they've been informed of what our schedule is, and so they're going to have 2 preachers back to back. Gene, you don't have to move. I'll sit somewhere else. 2 preachers back to back, and then we're going to take a break. And if you didn't have an opportunity to get something to eat, we're leaving the food out there, covering it up, and it'll still be out at the break. We're going to have 2 preachers, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll have a 3rd preacher for the evening. Our first preacher is Brother Sam Gerhart from over in Newport, Tennessee. I figured the best way to start a conference is with a cowboy. And he'll get us right in the saddle and get things lined up. And I love Sam and Debbie. I met them several years ago through Facebook. And we've had some wonderful fellowship, and I really appreciate their work in the ministry and their faithfulness. And I love to hear Sam preach, and he's one of those preachers that you get envious of because he can preach and sing. And Sam, if you want to sing us a song, that'll be fine too. As soon as he's finished, Brother Mark Gabert from out in West Tennessee is here. We're glad to have them with us. They've not been here at a lot of our conferences. And after Sam and Mark preach, we'll take a break, and then Brother Mark Rumfellow. So don't go away. If you were at a football game, you wouldn't leave at halftime, not even if the score, just hang around, and we'll have plenty of breaks and refreshments, and so hope you'll stay for the entire evening. Brother Sam, come on.
Good evening. Good to see everybody here, and appreciate you being a part of this. And if you want to be turning, we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, believe it or not. And yes, indeed, I will sing a song. Brother Allen said, turned around and said, ask him if you sing, does it take that off of your time? I'm even wearing a watch. It's 10 minutes after 7. All right. So I'll pay attention to my... I'll pay attention. All right. I always say I'm not a singer, but I like to sing. And so since people tolerate me and hadn't pulled me off yet, then you'll have to endure it, all right? Let's see. A drunk on the street, the rich in their palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the man of degree. They all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have to come.
Calvary. Now I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how He sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that He would save a sinner like me. Was I so wrong that I needed forgiveness? And was I so bad I had to be redeemed? Well, I wasn't a thief, but I lived in sin's prison, and I was as lost as a sinner could be. Now I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how He sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that He would save an old sinner like me.
I sing that song. I was a thief, and so I sing that song. I said, well, if anybody knows me, they know I'm lying. And I was a 15-year-old thief and dope head and all that, but God in His grace saw fit to rescue me, and I'll ever be grateful. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now I've got to get the tears out of my eyes so I can read my text. 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's a good place for us to start this Bible conference, is it not? 2 Timothy, we'll just read the chapter. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His,
and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, there's 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we've spent several minutes right there, and I could just close it up because there's been plenty of preaching right there already. But let's zero in on that passage of Scripture and kind of build around it until I have to sit down and shut up. He says there, and we're familiar, it's the foundation. It's kind of where everybody's going to preach. There won't be a preacher that'll get up here at the entire conference that won't make some reference to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And so we start there. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, as I read that word and as I start breaking this thing down, I mean, it seems like a simple thing. Brother Sam, you're going to come to a Bible conference with all these preachers and all these folks that have been rightly dividing the word of truth for all these years, and you're going to preach on this verse and this particular passage? Well, yeah, I guess I am. And let's just, you know, if nothing else, it'll be a refresher course on things that we already know. But the first word there is study. Now we know in our King James Bible the word study is just used a couple of times. Way back there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, much study is a weariness of the flesh. And so when we know that much study is a weariness of the flesh, and if we get real honest, most of us are lazy. If you ever walk up to somebody and say, you know, I got something for you to do, it's going to have a great benefit, but it's going to take a lot of work. Well, just wait a minute now. Let's weigh this out. I mean, how much work are we talking about and how much benefit are we talking about? I've got to figure out if I'm willing to make the investment and do the necessary work and if what I'm going to get out of it is worthwhile. Well, of course, the answer to that is yes. But the word is study. We also know that if we have a King James Bible, that's the only Bible that tells us to study it. And so when we start talking about studying our Bibles, and he says study the, you know, as we go through it, study the rightly divided word of truth. I mean, what is it that we're studying? Well, we're studying the Word of God, the Word of truth. And yes, I understand Ephesians 1:13, the Word of Truth, the Gospel of our salvation. And I certainly support that and believe that, understand that. But I'm also can go back to Psalm 119, verse 43, where the psalmist, back in time past, talks about the Word of Truth. And then I can go out there to James 1:18 and ages to come, and the writer James, to those 12 tribes, talks about the Word of Truth. They're begotten by the Word of Truth. We can go to Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:7. He talks about being a good minister, and he gives a long list of things, and among those things are the Word of Truth. And so certainly we're to rightly divide the Word of Truth, the Gospel of our salvation. We need to understand. There's a lot of Gospels out there in the Bible, isn't there? I mean, you got the everlasting gospel, you got the gospel that was preached to Abraham, you got the gospel of the kingdom, and the gospel of the circumcision, and the gospel of God, and the gospel of Christ, and the gospel of the grace of God, and the gospel of the circumcision. You got all these gospels. Well, certainly we need to rightly divide the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. No question about that. But he starts out with that word study. Now, how do you study? I get my Bible, and I get before the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to have to overcome a lot of ignorance and things that I've got in my own mind. Lord, you're going to have to help me overcome all the stuff I've learned in the past that's wrong. Give me a heart to understand, eyes to see, and ears to hear, and I study. I get my old 1828 Webster's Dictionary, and I get my concordance, and I get my app on my phone. Don't you love these modern phones, man? You can look stuff up and get it all out there. I get my iPad out, or I can look up a phrase, and it'll put it. So I study. But listen, when I study, I'm studying my Bible. That's our challenge. I'm afraid that sometimes when we study, if we're not careful, we get caught up in studying. Years ago, I was, and I may have told this story somewhere. You know how preachers do. They have certain stories they just tell all the time. They find a place to work them in. But I can remember years ago, before I was a young preacher. I mean, I was like 22 years old. And I'm studying 1 Corinthians 15, and I can't figure out what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not. Man, I'm struggling with that. You know, I've been introduced to Pauline right division, dispensational truth, but you know, I'm still in some Baptist circles, and I'm trying to figure out what is this baptism for the dead. And so I was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and living in a ministry there. And I called the pastor of the local church we were going to. Had been pastoring the same church for 30-something years. And I said, brother, I'm studying this passage. He was a Baptist pastor. I thought if anybody's going to have an answer, it's going to be the Baptist pastor. And so I'm studying, and I'm questioning, and I'm wondering, and I haven't been able to figure it out. I'm scratching my head. And I call him up on the telephone, and I say, listen, I'm in this study. I'm trying to figure out what does this verse mean. Do you have any light whatsoever? He said, hold on a minute. And I thought, well, I've caught him in the middle of the day, and he's going to have to go to his filing cabinet and go back to where he's got notes on Corinthians, and he's going to find his notes. You know, he just doesn't have it right there. And so that's what I'm thinking he's going to do. This is back in the days he lays the phone down, you know. Some of you younger ones don't know anything it is to lay the phone down. We pick it up and walk with us. But there, you know, this phone was on a wire and it sat on the desk and it had a cord attached to the parts you talked to and you couldn't walk around the room with it. But at any rate, he comes back and he's got Dr. Ironsides. And he says, well, Brother Sam, let me tell you what Dr. Ironsides says. And I thank you, brother. You know, I didn't say it, but I've got Dr. Ironsides on my own bookshelf. And so it was a little frustrating. Well, since that time I've learned that the dead is Christ, right? And what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, Christ, if the dead, Christ, didn't rise at all? And it's one of Paul's references, I believe, to the baptism the Kingdom Church was doing. Now, some of you all might could straighten me out on that, but that's what I see at this point. What shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? Well, I've got an answer on that now from my own mind, but I didn't then. But here's the point. We don't study our Bible. We look up, what does Brother Jerry say about this? And what does Brother Steve say about this? And what does Brother Dan say about this? And what does Brother Mark say about this? And I could go around the room, Brother Obed and Brother Allen, and I could name all the preachers. We don't study our Bibles. We go and study what do the preachers in the grace movement say about this passage. And yet, is that what Paul intended? No. Here's what I do. When I'm studying, I get my Bible, I get my concordance, I get my dictionary, I get all that stuff, and I read and I study and I chase the notes and I chase the words and I go back and forth and I try to come to some kind of conclusion in my own heart and mind. And when I've come to some kind of conclusion in my own heart and mind, then I may go pick up Brother Stamm's commentary. Then I may go pick up understandingyourbible.com and see if I can find something Brother Steve has said or done about that. Then I may go to the webs. Does that make any sense to anybody but me? Study. Don't study Brother Steve. Don't study Brother Jerry. Don't study Brother Sam. Don't study any pastor. Study your Bible. And I think that's an important thing. So he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Why are we studying? So we can prove all those people wrong. I mean, I always knew they were wrong. So I'm going to study so I can show they're wrong. Is that what it says? Study to show thyself approved unto God. You've heard me say it many times. Again, it's one of those things that I frequently say, and that is when God began to deal with my heart and I began to see dispensational truth and the Word of God rightly divided, my prayer was, dear God, I want to know the truth of this book. I don't care whose shingle hangs on it. And y'all know what? That's still my prayer. I want to know the truth of this book. If Brother Mark Rumfella agrees with me, praise God when I come to a conclusion. If Brother Steve agrees with me, praise God when I come to a conclusion. But you know what? If they don't, praise God. Because when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not going to be able to point at any of these preachers and say, but that's what they taught me. And neither are you. So instead of studying preachers and study what preachers say about things. Now, praise God when they're right. But what if they're not? And we all know we could bring half a dozen preachers up here and bring up the right topic and you'd get 15 different opinions about whatever that thing was. Am I right? Of course. Study to show thyself. I didn't really mean it like that, but that's the way it came out. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We don't answer to anybody but the Lord. That's who we answer to. Once again, I was called in one day, and I'd been part of a Sunday school class, and I was called in, and I'd been asking questions in this Sunday school class, and the assistant pastor was the teacher of that Sunday school class, and he would ask me a question. And I'd say, well, here's what I believe and why I believe it. And I'd open my Bible and I'd turn it around and I'd put it up in front of him. And he'd close my Bible and he'd say, but yes, but that's not what you learned at Tennessee Temple. And I'd say, I know that's not what I learned at Tennessee Temple, but that's what I see. If you can show me where I'm wrong, I'm there. Just show me. And he'd ask me another question, and I'd say, well, here's what I believe and why I believe it. And I'd turn my Bible around and I'd say, show me where I'm wrong. And he'd close my Bible and he'd set it to the side and he'd say, but that's not what Brother Olof taught you. And we'd go right on down the line. He'd ask, that's not what Jack Hiles taught you. That's not what Lester Olof taught you. That's not what Lee Robertson taught you. That's not... And he named off all the leading fundamentalists of the day. And it was all said and done, and every time, and I said this, and I say it now, and I continue to say it, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'll not be able to point at any preacher. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Hey, listen, Brother Steve was on my page the other day, and he made a comment, and he said something about Brother Sam is a good friend and a good preacher. Brother Steve Atwood said, I was a good friend and a good preacher. Now, did that make me feel good? Well, of course it did. But you know what? I can't let wanting Brother Steve Atwood to think of me as a good preacher affect my study. Because when I stand before Almighty God, I'm not going to give an account and be approved by Steve Atwood. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Folks, we have to learn that. Otherwise, we're just as denominational as anybody else. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. Well, there's that word. A workman. It's easier to get on the computer and type in graceforall.net. Is that right? It's easy to type in graceforall.net, sit back, get in the recliner, put the headphones on, and let Brother Jerry Lockhart do all the studying. Is it right? Let Him do all the studying. Let Him do all the work, and then you just glean off the work. It's easier. ButNow.org, is that what it is? What's that? What? .info. ButNow.info. It's easy. Go tap ButNow.info, go in there and listen to Brother Steve. Listen, let him do all the work. UnderstandingYourBible.com, all the different websites and Facebook groups and all the different places you can go. Man, that's a whole lot easier to just log on, sit back, listen, and benefit and read. And praise the Lord for that, and you should do that. But don't let that take the place of studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. We've got to get in there and dig it out for ourselves. I mean, isn't that what the Berean call is? Search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now we know, what is it, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:10-12 tells us, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go with me there right quick. I've got time to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. While 1 Corinthians 3 doesn't talk directly about, doesn't use the term and doesn't express the judgment seat of Christ, I certainly think 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And talk, you know, in 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about being approved, not being ashamed. It talks about a workman. We'll begin reading at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For we are laborers together with God. What's that mean? We are workmen together with God. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, Paul, as a wise master builder. I cannot understand how people can get past this verse of understand and fail to understand that Paul is the head contractor. I mean, he's the wise master builder. He's the head contractor. Now that ought to tell us everything we ought to know about why Paul. Right there. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, Paul, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Well, hadn't other people preached about Jesus and the foundation being Christ? Well, sure they had. But Paul's the one who preached Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and there's the foundation, is it not? Because Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery is different than Jesus Christ according to the revelation of prophecy. All right. And so he goes on, he says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So let me read that again. But let every workman take heed how he buildeth thereon. Does that fit? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Right? Which was kept secret, but now is made manifest. Now if any workman, build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So what do we got? Gold, silver, precious stone. What do we got? We got approved, right? And then we got wood, hay, and stubble. Ashamed. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Approved. Right? Approved. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Ashamed. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And so when we go back here then to 2 Timothy chapter 2 again, we look at that study to show thyself approved. Gold, silver, precious stone unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, wood, hay, stubble. Does that fit? Alright? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, as we go about all that, then we come to that part where we're all going to be all weekend. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there's all kind of stuff. You just look up rightly dividing. You can go Google that, and you're going to find all kind of stuff. Some of it's going to be good stuff. Some of it's going to be bad stuff. And some folks are going to be like us, and some folks are going to be blasting us. And we've got under dividers and we've got over dividers. Of course, bless God, we're the rightly dividers. How do you know? You got to study, don't you? Somebody says you're hyper. Well, that's always interesting. Hyper dispensationalist. That's never a compliment. Never. Somebody calls you hyper. So, you know, Acts 2 folks call us hyper. Acts 9 folks, we call the Acts 28 folks hyper. It's never good. It's never a compliment. But we have to study. How do I know the Acts 28 folks aren't right? Because Brother Steve said so. Does that work? I mean, think about it. Does that really work? How do we know the Acts 2 folks aren't right? Because Brother Mark Rumfeller has preached message after message after message telling us them Acts 2 folks, they got it wrong. Is that the way we got to go about this? No. Praise the Lord when we find folks who preach and teach like we preach and teach. Man, I rejoice and take great pleasure in the opportunity to fellowship with like-minded believers. What a wonderful thing. But that doesn't change the fact that we have an obligation and a responsibility, each individual believer, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. Remember, one of these days we're going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account. And you're not going to be able to point, well, that's what Brother Sam taught me. I'll give an account if I taught you wrong. But you'll not give an account for what I taught. But you'll give an account whether you just received it because I said so, or whether you was a Berean and searched the Scripture and said, you know, I love Brother Sam, and I agree with him on this, 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 and this. But on this, I disagree with him because I think my Bible says something else. Now, folks, that's the way it ought to be. We had a young lady in our church. We have two couples that started with us years ago, 10 years ago. And there was a time when this lady, she travels and she works and listens to the, you know, she does what I do. I search the channels and I listen to Christian radio stations all wherever I'm at, all over. And, you know, sometimes it's just so I can hear what everybody else is hearing. And sometimes I can build a message so I can, oh, that guy's goofy. I can, you know, if you're listening to this guy, let me tell you the truth, you know. And I do that kind of stuff. Well, there was a time when this lady, if she was listening to Charles Stanley or Adrian Rogers or David Jeremiah, that was just gospel truth, right? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. And she came in one day after several years. She came in one Sunday morning and she said, you know, I was listening to David Jeremiah this week, or it might have been Charles Stanley, I can't remember, one of those guys. But she said, I was listening to him this week and he just got it wrong. I went, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. What would happen if you were having a conversation in here and you said, you know, I was listening to Brother Mark the other day and he just had it wrong. Or I was listening to Brother Steve the other day and he just had it wrong. I was listening to Brother Mark Gaber the other day. He just had it wrong. Let me ask you something. What's better, just to believe it because they said it, or to study and search the Scriptures and come to an answer for yourself that you're satisfied with, that you would stand before God with? What's more important? Now, I think we ought to think about that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, I've not even touched rightly dividing and what it actually is, have I? But you know what I bet? I bet you even money that somebody will this week. And so my time's up, and we won't chase that rabbit any farther. Thank you.